Hello and welcome to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. At Emmanuel Croydon, we exist to be a community drawn together by our desire to know and follow Jesus. We long to become disciples of Jesus who are equipped to serve him in the whole of life, transforming families, communities and workplaces as we love God with heart, mind, soul and strength. We hope you enjoy this week's talk from the morning services. Thank you for joining us today. Grace and peace to you.
Than for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "Humanly, this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." Peter said to him, "We have left everything to follow you." "I tell you the truth," Jesus replied, "no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me in the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children and fields, and with them persecutions. And in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Good to see you all. Let's pray, shall we, as we start. We don't want to miss the profound depth of this passage, Lord. What you're asking us to do here is costly and huge. But we also know that we come to the one who meets us where we're at with grace and with compassion. So, Lord, help us each to be willing to listen to you with that understanding this morning. Amen. What is deep discipleship? Imagine you're on a plane and you're flying at about 10,000 feet. You're wrapped in a flight suit and you're somewhat encumbered by straps all around you. And on your back is a parachute pack. It's too loud to communicate in this plane, but you can see the pilot. And as you're watching him, he looks over his shoulder, gives you a thumbs up. Now the door slides open and a gasping rush of air engulfs the plane. Your breath is taken away. This is it. This is what you've been preparing for. This is what you've signed up for. There's nothing more to do now but jump into space. Oh, and trust this parachute and believe that the jump will result in a richer, clearer view of the world than if you stayed back in the plane. You may be thinking, why would I ever sign up to doing that? Why would I jump out of a plane when there's risk involved? And you're right. Of course, we have a choice to stay on the ground. No one is going to force us, even when we're in the plane, to jump out of the plane. We could stay safely inside the plane and enjoy the view from a height. Like any sermon illustration, this one has limitations, of course. But this is what I kept thinking of when I was trying to imagine what Jesus was asking us to do in this passage from Mark when it comes to discipleship. Many people are attracted by Jesus and by his radical words. They sign up for the ride, but then they stay in the plane. The door is open, but the parachute stays closed on their backs. Do we really need to jump out? They think. The view looks amazing from right here, actually. And if I don't jump, there's no risk involved. But I think in today's passage, Jesus is saying, jump. There's so much more. There's so much more that's asked of you. Jesus says, I'm looking for your radical trust. But there's so much more in store for you as well, if you're prepared to allow it. So the Gospel of Mark holds many answers to this question, what is deep discipleship? One of the key verses from the passage we spent time looking at last week was verse 21. Here, Jesus talks about what it means to go deep with him. He says, go and sell everything and give it to the poor, then come and follow me. Jesus gives this rich young man we looked at last week a radical description of discipleship. And according to Jesus, there's only one way to follow him. You see, actually, we can't have shallow discipleship. You're either all in or you're not in. It's all or nothing. And so the young man walks away sadly. He can't do it. So this morning, let's look at the second half of last week's passage. Last week, we looked at a radical approach to our money. Today, we're thinking about what it means to be radical in our discipleship. Jesus makes the impossible possible. So we join Jesus' disciples as they continue to be taken aback by their radical rabbi. This rabbi just doesn't fit into the conventional rabbi box, does he? Of course, this is what attracted them to him in the first place. But just when they think they're getting him worked out, he goes and does something else completely unexpected. Twice in the second half of the reading, from verses 23 to 31, we read that the disciples are amazed. In verse 24, they're amazed because Jesus is letting the rich young ruler walk away. Wait a minute, Jesus, they're saying. This guy's a big name in town. His money could be actually just what we need. Why are you letting him get away? In verse 25, Jesus responds by giving one of his most famous pictures. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone rich to get into God's kingdom. In other words, this man can't belong to the kingdom unless he lays down what you disciples are seeing as his greatest asset. By now, the disciples' jaws are on the floor. For them, money is a sign of the Old Testament promise of blessings and prosperity. Surely what the young man represents actually means that God approves of him and is blessing him. This is why it's so important to spend time reading our Bibles and working out what they really say. Because when we spend time with Jesus, we begin to realize the way he relates to people is so different from the way that we see people. The disciples have already decided a bit earlier in the chapter that the children Jesus is hanging out with aren't worth his time. Come on, Jesus, there's more important things for you to be doing. Now they've decided this young man represents God's version of blessing for them all. No, says Jesus. If he doesn't let go of what he's holding on to, he can't be saved. Look at verse 27. Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this, that is being saved, is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. Jesus is saying, understanding my kingdom with your human understanding is impossible. It's impossible to earn your way to salvation. This isn't just about money. It's about us trying to bring the proof that we deserve it. But nothing we do, nothing we are, will save us, says Jesus. He says, to be saved, you need to give everything up, and you need me. My friends, this is not bad news. This is the best news we can have because this is the gospel. This means we don't have to find the solution ourselves. We don't have to do or bring anything to the table to prove to Jesus that we're worth saving, that we've made it. The journey starts with us empty-handed. He asks us only to take hold of what he's done, because his name means Saviour. The familiarity of this picture of camel and needle can mean we forget how radical these words actually are. Giving Jesus the control of our lives is harder than we ever thought. But it's so, so much better than we ever thought as well. So let's pause right here for a moment and consider what God might want us to hear from this place in our reading. Like the disciples, where might we have put Jesus in a box which has actually limited his power in our lives? Where have we stopped believing in the God who makes the impossible possible? What does it mean to let go of trying to control our situations and our lives and let God take over? Jesus says it is impossible for humans to save themselves, but all things are possible with God. There is no one out of his reach. Next slide, please, Ben. Jesus comes out with a number of radical statements in this passage. Each of them show us that discipleship takes our wholehearted commitment. Listening in, Peter is thinking hard. This rich man wasn't willing to sacrifice for Jesus. But from where I'm sitting, I've actually sacrificed quite a lot. I'm going to remind him about it. Look at verse 28. Then Peter spoke up. We've left everything to follow you. Hey, Jesus, says Peter, don't forget what we've left behind. Look at everything we've given up to become your disciples. Ironically, I think Peter's seeing discipleship in the same way as the rich man. They're both making discipleship transactional. For the rich young man, he said to Jesus, what must I do? What do I need to add to my portfolio to get in? But Peter is saying, look what I've done for you, Jesus. I've built up good credit. In fact, I'd say you owe me one. Whilst the rich young man was unwilling to give something up for Jesus, we might say Peter had given everything up. His livelihood, his hometown, guaranteed income, time with his family. And Jesus acknowledges that, as we'll see in a moment. But first, let's just stay with Peter a moment. You see, his question tells us something about ourselves too, or his statement rather. Peter is looking in the rearview mirror. He's looking at what he's left behind rather than what he's received. I don't want us to be too hard on Peter. He's brilliant at showing us ourselves, isn't he? I think we're often in danger of doing exactly the same thing. Maybe we can start to see our obedience as something that needs to be counted in our favour. Or maybe we can start to regret what we've laid down and long to pick it up again. Hey, Jesus, when you look at me, don't forget how much I've given up for you, will you? When we spend time with Jesus, we grow in trust for him. I think in this gospel, Mark reminds us that we follow a grace-filled Saviour. He is full of grace. Jesus could have looked at Peter's claim with his eyebrows raised. Peter? Bit out of line. But instead he says, yes, Peter, you have sacrificed for me, and I've noticed. And what's more, he says, your sacrifice will be rewarded. Next slide, please, Ben. The cost of discipleship is everything, but the gifts are eternal. In verse 29, Jesus tells us about these gifts of deep discipleship. Truly I tell you, and he says that when he wants us to listen well, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children and fields, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. I talked last week about the way God does maths differently from us. It feels like in this verse, God is doing some God maths again. If we're willing to sacrifice for Jesus, he will give us 100 times as much in return. So what's he actually promising us here? First of all, family. If you've been coming to our church for a while, you will have heard us often talking about church family. Why would we do that? We're not all interrelated, although some of us are. No. When we become Christians, we join a new family of believers around the world. If you got on a plane today and you sat next to someone who you discovered was a Christian, they would immediately be your brother or sister in Christ. Now, just like our birth family, we can't choose who is in our family, and it's obviously not always easy for us to get along. But today, let's remember that being part of a family is one of the beautiful multiplications Jesus gives us when we follow him. It's the gift of discipleship. Most of the time as humans, we would choose to be in groups that are like us, culturally, economically, generationally. But in a church where we're united by our radical Saviour, Jesus, we start from a different place. Deep discipleship means we look at each other and recognize each other as a gift we're given when we make sacrifices for Jesus. Secondly, Jesus promises us persecution. These are three words in verse 30, which we might want to skip over hastily. And also, he says, persecutions will come your way. There are many believers in the world today for whom discipleship is a choice which has brought deep suffering. Maybe that's true for you today. I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about how many Nigerians we have here in our church family at Emmanuel. Now, I don't know if you know what's going on in Nigeria, but according to Open Doors, more Christians are currently being killed for their faith in Nigeria than in the rest of the world combined. That is shocking, isn't it? Let's pray for those who are going through the horrors of torture and death for their faith in that country and around the world. And let's pray for our Nigerian brothers and sisters here at Emmanuel. Jesus tells us clearly that with deep discipleship comes persecution. It's in persecution and suffering that the church family becomes especially important and precious. Let's pray for those who are unable to be in a church freely today. And let's pray that we are strong enough to withstand persecution when it comes our way. And finally, Jesus promises us eternal life. One of the dangers of being materially comfortable is that we don't think about eternity enough. But if every part of our daily faith is not energized and motivated by hope for what lies ahead, we've missed the key part of the story. Eternal life is the gift that Jesus has won for us through his death and resurrection. Eternal life means that we love each other with authentic depth as family who will one day be together forever. It's what means we can hold on to faith when persecution comes. And it changes everything we invest in this short and temporary life here on earth. You see, it's knowing that we're safe eternally That gives us the courage to jump out of the plane. We've come to the end of this amazing passage from Mark's Gospel. But what have we learned about the costs and gifts of being a disciple? We've been challenged not to let anything come between us and Jesus. For some of us, that is holding on to more of our money than we need. For others, it's maybe our dreams or our desires or our aspirations for our families. It's whatever we would put above Jesus. So this morning, let's ask Jesus to take what we're not trusting him with and help us to let go of it. When we look around, let's see each other as the gift of family. We thank God for our unity in diversity here. We resolve to commit wholeheartedly to this church family that God has given us here at Emmanuel. Let's dare to ask Jesus to help us to be bolder about our faith. Our world needs to hear about Jesus. Look at the headlines. Look at what's happening right here in our city. The salvation that Jesus offers us is too good for us to keep quiet about. Let's be bold. As we understand this gift we have, that we can talk to people freely about Jesus, we're aware of so many who can't. Let's pray. Let's commit to praying more for those who are being persecuted for their faith. And let's delight in Jesus as we dig deeper into his word and ask him to change us. If you don't yet know Jesus for yourself, please come and speak to me or to John at the end. We would be delighted to help you find out more. There are so many times in this passage that Jesus looks at people, and he does so with compassion and grace. He's not a boot camp leader. Harder, harder, faster, faster. No. He's gently urging us to take hold of a more lavish, wider, richer faith with the help of his Holy Spirit. Jesus is the one who makes what seems impossible into something not only possible, but amazing. Well, in a moment, we're going to take the bread and wine that represent the most radical act of love that Jesus did in dying for us. So let's now come before him in a prayer of acknowledgement that reminds us of who we are and what he has done. Let's pause a moment and then we're going to pray together. Let's say these words of confession together. Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole hearts. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us to amend what we are and direct what we shall be, that we may do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you, our God. Amen. So, Lord, it is in the light of your forgiveness and your grace that we come to you with our hands open, our hearts open, and our lives given to you. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. For more information about our church and everything we have going on, visit our website, emmanuelcroydon.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to see and hear what's going on in the life of our church. God bless you and have a wonderful week.